You're listening to The Takeaway with John Hockenberry and Adora Udoji.
Good morning. Time for some headlines from Richard Haig. Hey there, Richard.
Hey, Adora. 28 minutes before the top of the hour, the Senate is scheduled to vote tonight on a new draft of the financial bailout plan. The House rejected the first $700 billion bill on Monday. This version includes new tax breaks and a 150% increase in federal deposit limits. Expectations for a bailout bill have boosted Asian and European markets back up today. EU monitors are observing a ceasefire in Georgia. They will confirm the withdrawal of Russian troops from the Georgian territory of South Ossetia after a brief war there in August. The new United States Military Command for Africa, known as AFRICOM, comes into operation today. The organization is intended to prevent the spread of Al-Qaeda in Africa. A U.S. missile strike in Pakistan killed six people near the Afghan border. The strike took place amid reports that Pakistan's top Taliban leader has died of kidney failure, although Taliban officials deny that he's dead. In New York City, Mayor Michael Bloomberg plans to seek a third term in office, but first, he must revise a city law that limits the mayor to two terms. Also, in the race for vice president, all eyes are on tomorrow's debate between Sarah Palin and Joe Biden. Palin outlined the contest in an interview broadcast on the CBS Evening News. The Alaska governor says she's, quote, the new energy, the new face, the new ideas, while she says Biden has, quote, the experience based on many, many years in the Senate.
Well, that contest, everyone will be watching. You're totally right. Thank you, Richard.
You're welcome.
Many thanks, Richard. And we hear now from another financial planner. We've heard from several this morning, and we're hearing from people like you about how this financial crisis is affecting them and questions people have.
Thursday, I got three calls just wanting a little bit of reassurance. They had weathered through the last 9 or 10 months pretty well. But I think the cumulative effect finally hit them, and they just wanted the reassurance.
That's Cynthia Conger in Little Rock, Arkansas. What kind of reassurance do you need? What are you most worried about? What questions do you have? 8778-MY-TAKE, or tell us what you think at mytake@thetakeaway.org.
Well, listening to lawmakers and economists talking about a credit freeze as a disaster, a nuclear event in the economy, motivated us to make a call to Christine Clifford, who's vice president of the Wholesale Access Mortgage Research Company. Christine, thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
So when I hear credit crisis and credit freeze, what does that mean for people trying to get a mortgage today?
The credit crisis and credit freeze has really impacted folks trying to buy larger homes more than people trying to buy average price homes. And that is because the government has really stepped up to the plate, and now most mortgages today are being insured by FHA, about 40% of the market, or guaranteed by Fannie, Freddie, or VA.
So the bailout of Fannie and Freddie has actually helped the market that you deal with every day.
Oh, yeah, it has. After the bailout, interest rates went down. And so for the average homebuyer, today is actually a really good time for first-time homebuyers to go out and buy homes.
Well, we wouldn't call her average, but Grace Smokowski is education co-coordinator at Housing Opportunities Made Equal in Lackawanna, New York. Grace, thanks for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
You're looking for a mortgage right now, correct?
Yes. We're looking at buying a small ranch home in Lackawanna, south of Buffalo, New York. That loan is for $95,000.
So. Have you been getting any pushback, any sign of a credit freeze in your experience so far?
In our experience so far, no. We have gone with Bank of America, which has been really super with explaining the market, explaining where things are going. And I have already signed a contract where we have a fixed rate of no higher than 6.8%.
Oh, that's pretty good. So, Christine, yeah. For someone like Grace, what are the things they need to watch out for in terms of fees and the kinds of things that companies are really paying attention to that maybe weren't such an issue 2 years ago?
I think what's really changed from 2 years ago is that people with good credit scores really were not asked any questions at all. And today, lenders are reviewing every document. They're verifying people's income and checking for their employment multiple times. and confirming that they have money in the bank and have assets to pay the mortgage over time. And it used to be there was heavy reliance on automated underwriting, and what people said was, especially if you had strong credit, that was just taken as fact, and there wasn't a lot of double-checking going on.
Mm-hmm. And that automated underwriting is responsible for the we'll approve you over the phone, and you can close by the end of the week with no closing costs kind of arrangement. Grace, have they been asking you a lot of questions at B of A?
Oh, yes, they have. We have to show 2 months of pay stubs, 2 months of financial statements, all of our assets, all of our liabilities, our Social Security for a credit check, even our driver's license they've been asking for, photo ID. So we've had a lot of hoops to jump through.
Except
even though both of us have fairly, rather good credit.
It's you and your fiance, right?
Yes.
Yeah. You know, in looking at the news and hearing all this $700 billion headline business every single day, Grace, but the questions that you're asked, the checks of the driver's licenses, I mean, between you and me, isn't that the way it was supposed to work?
Exactly. So this is a discrepancy that I've had with my fiancé. He said, well, this is a normal process that we would have gone through if there wasn't a crisis going on. I was shocked that we were asked so many questions and asked to provide so much information. But when you are going for a big money loan, I would suspect that they would ask such questions.
Well, it is a big, big deal, $95,000. I mean,
yeah.
Christine, you're saying that the jumbo mortgage is probably a thing of the past, or at least a thing of the near past. Maybe it'll come back. But
it's just a heck of a lot more difficult.
Right.
I mean, a lot of lenders are asking for 30 or 40% down.
Wow. Oh, that's incredible. Well, let's talk about what Grace was just reacting to there in the seconds before we go. I mean, this is the way it should be, right?
Mm-hmm.
That people should be asked questions so they understand the significance of what they're doing.
Mm-hmm. I think competitive pressures had pushed lenders to ask fewer questions. And, you know, also for the types of loans like Grace is going for, it's not a very high-margin business for the lenders. So they were looking for ways to save money, but now with increasing fraud, and the FBI estimates that it cost the lending industry about $6 billion last year, which, you know, most people feel that estimate is a low estimate.
Wow. So fraud has risen.
Mm-hmm.
That's a feature of this crisis. Well, Christine and Grace, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Good luck, Grace. Grace Smokowski is Education Coordinator at Housing Opportunities Made Equal. She's looking for a house in Lackawanna, New York. And Christine Clifford is Vice President of the Wholesale Access Mortgage Research Company in Columbia, Maryland.
On Notes from America, we have conversations with people across the country about how we can truly become the nation that we claim to be. Each week, we talk about race, our politics, education, relationships, usually all of them, because everything's connected. And you, our listeners, are at the center of those conversations. I'm Kai Wright. Join me on Notes from America, wherever you get your podcasts.